Those familiar with the word elders normally turn to the New Testament when this subject is studied. If we are familiar, though, with the Bible, we may recall that the word elders is sometimes mentioned or used in the Old Testament. In fact, if you go back and you look at the Old Testament, you find the word elders first introduced in the book of Genesis. It's actually a word that we find in Genesis 50, verse 7. There were some leaders in the area of Egypt that are identified or called or specified elders. And then after the reference in Genesis 50, verse 7, if we move into the next book, Exodus, which is where we've been on Sunday nights, we find a reference to elders in Exodus 3. Now, Exodus 3 is where we have been for a couple of weeks. It is in this chapter that we read about Moses seeing the burning bush. It is in this chapter that we read about God being designated as the I Am. It is in this chapter where God told Moses, you are going to be the deliverer. You are going to be the one that brings the people out of Egyptian bondage. And as we sort through this information in Exodus 3, tonight I want to begin with Exodus 3, verse 16, because here, God makes reference to the elders, specifically the elders of Israel. God said, go and gather the elders of Israel together and say unto them, Jehovah, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, hath appeared unto me, saying, I have surely visited you and seen that which is done to you in Egypt. Now, I am not quite sure. Maybe somebody else knows, but I'm not quite sure how these elders in Israel arose. But somehow, through the process of time, maybe there was some divine guidance. But somehow, maybe it was just the process of needing leaders. But somehow, as the people of God, as the descendants of Abraham were in the land of Egypt, elders arose from among the people. And these elders are mentioned several times. Not only do we find them in Exodus 3, verse 16, if we skip down two verses, Exodus 3, verse 18, we have another reference to these elders. And they shall hearken to thy voice, and thou shalt come, and God also said, the elders of Israel unto the king of Egypt, and ye shall say unto him, Jehovah, the God of the Hebrews, hath met us. And now let us go, we pray thee, 3 days' journey into the wilderness, that we may sacrifice to Jehovah our God. In the next chapter, Exodus 4, verse 29, we find another reference to the elders of Israel. Now, when we look at the Old Testament and we find references to elders, we should, as we head towards the New Testament, expect to find similar references. Stated another way, because of the references to elders in Exodus and other places in the Old Testament, we should anticipate that when we come to the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the first century, the life of Christ, the times of the apostles, we should expect to find some references to elders. Well, this is precisely what we find. In Matthew through John, we do read about elders. For instance, in Matthew 15, verses 1 and 2, we are told about a time that involves some scribes and Pharisees. Matthew tells us that these men had come from the city of Jerusalem, and they had some questions, or at least one question for the Lord. These men asked the Lord why his disciples broke the tradition, and if you look carefully at the text, you'll see that it was a tradition that had been created by the elders. Then in the next chapter, Matthew 16, verse 21, Jesus knew about his sufferings that were going to take place, and he said he was going to suffer many things. He then said these many sufferings were going to be because of the elders, these Jewish leaders, not long before Jesus died. A few chapters later in Matthew 21, verse 23, we find that Jesus was asked about his authority. By what authority do you do these things? Who asked that question? Part of the group posing this question consisted of Jewish elders. When we think about the word elder, we find that this word or this concept, this function, if you will, is found or expressed very early in the Bible. Egyptians had them, Genesis 50. The Jewish people had them in the time of Moses, Exodus chapter 3, Exodus chapter 4, and they certainly existed in the time of Christ. Matthew illustrates this in multiple places, as do some of the other passages that we find in his book. Now, I do not know that there's any value, in at least any spiritual value, in studying elders as they related to the Egyptians. As we look at the Jewish elders, we can probably find some things there that might be beneficial. But most people, I think, when the subject of elders comes up, most people are interested in the New Testament information about them. What does the New Testament teach, or what does the New Testament say about elders? Well, this evening I want to do something that I don't know that we've ever done as far as in a sermon before. Maybe we've covered it in class. But this evening I want to look at the subject of elders from the standpoint of the New Testament, not Jewish elders, but elders as far as a local congregation. I want to study these words from the word elder or elders from the original text. There are three different words that would be translated elder or elders as we look throughout the New Testament. And tonight I'm going to give these three distinct words, and then we'll look at the ways in which they are translated. Now, even though there are three words that would be used or found in the original text, things become a little complicated because these three words are typically translated in six different ways. We sometimes do the same thing. We've given the illustration over the years with the word father. One person might say, this is my father. Another person might say, this is my dad. Another person might say, this is my parent. We have multiple words for the same function or the same relationship. And this is also true when we look at the word elders. The first word, if you want to make a note of it, is episkopos. Episkopos is spelled E-P. And after the E-P, it is I-S-K-O-P-O-S. Episkopos is a word that's usually translated in our English versions in one of two ways. Sometimes episkopos is rendered bishop. In other passages, episkopos is rendered overseer. And both of these words, episkopos, bishop, overseer, these two words, bishop and overseer, provide us with some information about elders and what they are to do as far as the work of the New Testament church. The word bishop. It is, as I said, a word that describes what we normally refer to as an elder. The word bishop has the sense of overseeing. The word bishop has the sense of inspecting or being a superintendent. Overseer suggests that these men who are involved in this particular task, they're watching over something. In this case, it would be the church. Now, this word episkopos is used in five different places in the New Testament. I'm going to read the first of these places. This comes from the book of Acts, Acts chapter 20, verse 28. And then I'm going to cite for us, because I think we're fairly familiar with the other four places where this term is used. Now, Acts 20:28 is kind of an interesting verse because as episkopos, or these elders, are described, we find that in this particular passage, Luke associates these men with the Holy Spirit. Most of the translations that we have represented here tonight will probably have the word overseer to translate episkopos in Acts 20, verse 28. If you turn to the passage, here's what it says. Take heed. Paul, in talking to these elders, these bishops, these overseers, take heed unto yourselves and to all the flock, in which the Holy Spirit hath made you, and here's the word, bishops. You are the episkopos of the congregation. So because of that, you need to feed the church of the Lord, which he purchased with his own blood. In talking to these elders, Paul said that they were to be bishops, overseers. They were to superintend the flock. They were to care for God's people. That's important. When we look at the world and we look at the devil, we find that Satan, the forces of this world, often want to try to damage God's people in one or more ways. But God says to his people, you need a security system. And the security system I have put in place for my people, the security system that has been around for a long time to keep people spiritually secure, consists of these people that we often refer to as elders, but with this word episkopos, we can also refer to them as bishops or overseers. Luke's reference to these fellows as being associated with the Holy Spirit shows us that elders or bishops or overseers, these are men that have been authorized by God. The Lord purchased the church with his blood, Acts 20, verse 28. So he wants it to be protected, and this would be one of the ways that he seeks to protect his people. Overseers or bishops are specifically charged with feeding God's people. And as we see from Acts 20:28, one of the things that they should take responsibility for or spend attention on would be ensuring that sound doctrine is taught in a local congregation. Another place where we find this word episkopos or bishop or overseer is Philippians chapter 1, verse 1. Now this passage is an interesting verse. A lot of times as people look at the way that a New Testament book begins, they'll kind of skip over the introductory stuff. We don't want to do that when it comes to any book, but especially the book of Philippians. Philippians 1:1 is helpful because it helps us understand how the local congregation is to be organized. As Paul begins the Philippian letter, he says, Paul and Timothy. Well, we know who those men were. Paul was a preacher. Such was also true for Timothy. As Paul describes himself and Timothy, he says, we're servants. We're not the head of the church. We're not the lead men. We are people who seek to serve. This is important because it tells us today that when preachers are in a local congregation, not every congregation has a preacher, but when a preacher is working with the congregation, he is to be a servant. Then Paul in Philippians 1:1 spoke about the saints. You have the preachers, and then Paul said, we've got the saints, we have the Christians. Then he refers to the deacons, and we're not going to talk about them tonight, but they're also part of God's plan for church organization. And then he comes down to the word episkopos, which is probably translated bishop or bishops in your version. Some, as we look at our religious world today, they think about bishops as being someone that's outside the local congregation. There is a bishop in a diocese somewhere. There's a bishop in another city. There's a bishop in a major community. And that bishop is over maybe several congregations. But here in Philippians 1:1, when Paul uses episkopos, or this word bishop, he tells us that these bishops, these overseers, they were there with the preachers. They were there with the saints. They were there with the deacons. Before people can serve in a local congregation as the episkopos, as a bishop, as an overseer, they need to be qualified. So as we look at this word episkopos, we find that it is used to describe the qualifications for those who serve as elders or bishops or overseers. Paul used this word in 1 Timothy 3:2. He also used it in Titus 1 verse 7 when he talks about the qualifications for these men. Now sometimes we have a congregation or maybe multiple congregations, and this is certainly true in our area, where congregations do not have elders. There have been various illustrations throughout times of this. A congregation didn't have men that were qualified, and they thought, well, the Bible talks about bishops or overseers. Let's just install some people. Well, we don't find that in the Bible. God gave qualifications for these men, 1 Timothy 3, Titus 1, and in cases where congregation does not have men who are qualified, don't install unqualified people. Work to qualify people and then have them serve as a bishop or an overseer. One of those qualifications, of course, as we look at 1 Timothy 3:2, would be that a man has to be married. Sometimes people have said, well, let's have a bishop, or let's have an elder, let's have an overseer, and this is a good man, but he's not a married man. We just can't go ahead and scrap some of the qualifications. The last place where we find episkopos in the New Testament is in Peter's letter. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 25. Now, this passage is unusual for a couple of reasons. First, in all the passages that we've used thus far, episkopos, bishop or overseer, refers to a human being. In 1 Peter 2:25, though, it's the same word, but here it does not refer to a human being. Here it refers to Jesus. Jesus is a bishop. Jesus is an episkopos. He is an overseer. Well, that's right. He's the head of the church. So it makes perfect sense to refer to him by this word, which is most generally describing an elder in a local congregation. Now, English translations, as I mentioned, will render episkopos in various ways. Generally, as I said, we'll find the word elder. Generally, we'll find the word overseer. But in 1 Peter 2:25, some versions like the New American Standard Translation, we use the word guardian. Jesus is the guardian of his people. In a local congregation, those who are serving as bishops or elders, they also should serve as guardians. As we saw from Acts 20:28, they're trying to protect the flock. Elders, bishops, overseers should be good men. And in most cases, I believe that they are. Elders or bishops or overseers, episkopos, are not perfect people. We're never going to have perfect elders in this life. But there is one perfect elder. There is one perfect bishop. There is one perfect overseer. And this is, of course, the one mentioned in 1 Peter 2:25. The Lord is flawless in every way. All right, now that we know that we have this one word, episkopos, that means basically the function of an elder, but it's typically translated overseer or bishop, let's turn our attention to the second word, which conveys the meaning of what we normally associate with the word elder. This second word is a word that we may not hear nearly as often as the other two, but it is the word presbyteros, and it's spelled P-R-E-S-B-U-T-E-R-O-S. Now, presbyteros, just like episkopos, is generally translated in one of two ways. Episkopos, bishop, or overseer. Now, when we come to this word presbyteros, we find that it's normally translated presbyter. We don't hear that word too often, but sometimes people will use that word. And the other way that presbyteros is translated is elder, that word that we probably are most familiar with. There are times where we honor people. As we look at our culture throughout the year, there are times where people are honored. We may honor a person because they've been married for many years. After a 25th anniversary or 50th anniversary, maybe a 75th anniversary, we'll honor that person with some kind of gathering. The world takes a little time to honor fathers, honor children, honor mothers. Romans 13, verse 7, Paul talked about honoring those that deserve honor. And in the context, of course, he was talking about the government. When we look at presbyteros or presbyter, it is a word which reminds us the basic meaning of the word is to honor someone. So when we have bishops or overseers or elders in a local congregation, or a presbyter, if you want to use this particular word, this particular term tells us honor those who are serving in this way. If you talk to most people who have served or are serving as an elder, they'll tell you something. I think in 90%+ of the cases, they will tell you that they deal with some very difficult circumstances as time goes by, and a lot of their work is not very fun. A lot of their work is very difficult. They go through a lot of struggles where it seems like some days they feel like they are just pulling out their hair, and in some cases, they just don't know what to do. They're glad for fellow elders because they need someone to lean on for wisdom and support. The Hebrew writer seems to allude to this in Hebrews 13:17. He talks there about elders, these presbyters, these bishops, the overseers, and he says, make sure that you live in such a way where these men can do their job, where they have joy and not grief. The Hebrew writer knew that it could be a grievous thing to serve as an elder. When we are members of a congregation that has elders, one of the responsibilities that Christians have is to show appreciation to these men. Now, presbyteros, this word which has the sense of honor, in addition to being translated presbyter, it also, as I said, is typically translated, and we probably think most about this word, elder. Presbyteros has the sense of elder. Now, elder, when we look at this particular word, if we prefer this translation, it has the sense of protecting, feeding, caring for people, trying to help those in a local congregation. Now, we might prefer to use the word elder, and I think most of the people that we talk to, probably out of all six words that we find in the New Testament, or three words that are translated six ways, out of all the six words that we could use, most will probably use the word elder. Maybe one of the reasons that we do this is because elder is a term that we find more than 60 times in the New Testament. We've mentioned how it was used in Matthew 15:2, Matthew 16:21, Matthew 21:23, and this presbyteros, this elder, it does describe older men. About half the time in the New Testament, Matthew through John, is where we find about the first 30 uses of presbyteros. The remaining half, of course, would be in Acts through Revelation. And as we look at the Acts through Revelation references for presbyteros, this word which can mean presbyter or elder, we find that it typically refers to those who help lead a local congregation. It's also a word that helps us get some insights about what these elders or these presbyters or episkopos, the overseers, the bishops do. In Acts 14:23, the Bible says they had appointed for them elders, presbyteros. They had appointed for them elders in every church. Well, this passage is instructive because it tells us that God's plan for church leadership is local. There's not to be a board over in Chicago or Rome or New York or anywhere else. Like we saw in Philippians 1:1, the elders are there with the deacons, they're there with the preachers, they're there with all the people, all the saints. There's nothing in the New Testament about having some type of church headquarters or outside leadership. This word presbyteros, or elder, presbyter, it's also used in Acts 15. You may remember in Acts 15 that there were some questions. There were some questions about things like circumcision. Should Christians have to go back and follow the Old Testament law? Well, the apostles were involved in this question. But we also find in Acts 16, the presbyters, the elders, were also involved in this matter. This information suggests that elders should be people who are knowledgeable about the Bible. We find that there are people who are a novice in the faith, 1 Timothy 3:6. And that's not necessarily a bad thing, but Paul said that that person is not going to be the right choice for an elder. We find that elders should be involved with the sick. In James 5, verse 14, James says, "Is any sick among you? Call the presbyters, call the elders, and have them come and pray." Several times in the New Testament, we also read about elders, especially in the book of Revelation. Elder is a word that emphasizes spiritual maturity, people who are committed to caring for God's people. Now, we've examined two of the words in the New Testament which are used for elders. Episkopos, which means typically bishop or overseer. We've also looked at the word presbyteros, which means presbyter or elder. We're now ready for the third word, which is used to describe the men that we typically refer to as elders. This third word is poimen, P-O-I-M-E-N. Poimen is not used all that often, but still it is translated in various ways in our English Bibles. Some passages would translate it shepherd. Other passages would take this third word, poimen, and render it pastor. Now, in today's world, outside the church, almost everybody thinks of the preacher as a pastor. If you talk to someone who is involved with the funeral, as far as a person down at the funeral home, they will almost always refer to the preacher as the pastor. The pastor says, it's time for the pastor to speak. And the newspaper world is also good about that. Pastor so-and-so conducted this service, or pastor so-and-so is going to speak at this upcoming rally. Pastor seems to have become the default word for preacher. If people went back and looked at what the New Testament says, though, they would find that pastor and preacher are two different things. A pastor is not a preacher. A preacher is not a pastor. The word preacher describes someone who preaches. The word preacher describes someone who tries to communicate the gospel of Christ. The word pastor is equivalent to the other words that we've talked about. A pastor is another way of describing the presbyter, or the elder, or the overseer, or the bishop. Now, it is possible for a preacher to be a pastor. It's possible for a preacher to be an elder. But these are two very distinct things. Now, as we look at this word poimen, we said it also has and can be translated shepherd. So when we think about pastoring a group of people, or when we think about shepherding a group of people, we're talking about a man who's serving as the poimen. We're talking about a man who's serving as an elder. Now, this third word is appropriate because God's people have often been compared to sheep. In the Old Testament, we find God's people being compared to sheep. Today, under the New Testament era, God's people are still compared to a flock, and they need the shepherd. That's why we have that chief shepherd, presbyter, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 25, and why we need poimen, why we need pastors or shepherds. The word shepherd, if we use this translation, also gives us some insight as to what elders should do, one of the key responsibilities. Now, sometimes, if we're in the church for very long, sometimes we kind of come into a point in time where we have our own vocabulary. There are words that we typically use and words which we never seem to use, words which we use so infrequently, they almost sound strange to us. Most congregations today that I've been associated with will use the word elder. But we may at some point be visiting in a place and they say our shepherds or our pastors, our bishops. And for a lot of people, I think they kind of jerk, well, who are those? Well, those people are the same people that we refer to as elders. They just have chosen a different word, which is still a biblical word, to describe the people that we may typically refer to as elders. If a congregation wants to refer to their elders as shepherds, or bishops, or pastors, or presbyters, any of the six words, these things are perfectly fine. What we do need to know, what we do need to be familiar with, is that there are three words in the original text that describe elders. And typically there are six English words which are used to describe these three words in the original text. God set up things in such a way where elders, the overseers, the bishops, are to have control in a local congregation, and that makes sense. It makes sense for a lot of reasons, one of which is this. If you go back and you look at the last 50, 100 years, and certainly even before, there have been some young preachers. There have been some people who started to preach when they were in their mid to late teenage years. What does a teenage boy at the age of 15 know about pastoring a congregation? Not a thing. He's not in a position to do that. He might preach. He might be a great preacher and teacher. But he doesn't know anything about being a leader in a local congregation as far as trying to direct the flock. He's still trying to grow up, let alone direct people who are married and have children. When God arranged for elders in the Old Testament, and he did, and we find his arranging for elders in the New Testament, he knew exactly what he was doing. He knew people would need help, and he created the best possible plan. And today, that aspect of his plan, just like every other facet of New Testament Christianity, needs to be followed. Today, we have congregations, thankfully, in this country and elsewhere, where there are literally a dozen or more men that are able to serve as elders. We have seen, especially in this part of the country, other congregations have as few as two men serving as elders, and in some case, they don't have any. We've come to a time, and it's sad, but we've come to a time, and I'm not speaking about just this area, but throughout the United States and really throughout the world, where the number of congregations that has an eldership seems to be in decline. Now, maybe one day that's going to be turned around. I don't know. Maybe we're not going to be here in 10 years, as far as the Lord may come back. I don't know. But part of being a Christian is knowing what the Bible says on the various things that relate to our faith, one of which would be church organization. And when we are part of a congregation that has elders, we need to encourage these men. That's part of what being the word presbyter tells us. We also, as we're in congregations, whether we have an eldership or not, need to be people who encourage those that are around us on a regular basis. We need to be encouraging our people to grow in every aspect of the Christian life. And here, as well as elsewhere, we, especially as we think about a new year, we, as we want to come into 2013 in a good way, we want to be sure that we are people who are involved with encouragement one to another. We encourage our young people. We encourage our ladies. We encourage our young men, our old men. We, as we begin another year, want to strengthen each one who's here. We want to work hard, and we want to pray to do the best that we can. One day to go ahead and hopefully have an eldership that is consistent with God's will, and until that time comes, continue to do the things that will help us all mature in such a way where God is pleased. But we do need to know the basics about elders in the New Testament, not only for our local situation, but as we deal with people. We talk to people on a regular basis that use Bible words in the wrong way. So remember, elders, read about them very early in the Bible. We find them in the time of Christ, and they are part of God's plan for church organization today. Let's make sure that we do our best to help this congregation be as strong as it can be throughout 2013 and throughout all the years that we have. This evening, we trust, because you're here with the weather outside, you're committed to that. And we pray that that'll be a commitment that you continue to make throughout this year. If you've been struggling with that commitment, and tonight we can help you renew that, we'd like to do that for this year. If you've not yet become a Christian, we'd like to help you take that step and get your new year off to the right start by baptizing you into Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If there's a way that we can help start your commitment to Christ, renew it somehow, pray with you, encourage you, anything else, we let us know about that need as we stand and sing the selected song.